Hey, podcast listeners, thank you so much for just taking a few minutes out of your day to listen to this episode today. Hey, I would love it if you would consider subscribing to this and also leaving a rating and review. That would mean so much to me. Thank you guys. Have a great rest of your day.
And Trust Law Group, and we're super excited. Even with our small technical delay, it wouldn't be a show without a little bit of a technical delay for me. But we are absolutely excited tonight to be joined by Stephen Newland. Stephen is the founder and owner of MoneyPath. He has a lot of involvement in our communities as well. A lot of other ways, and I definitely let him share that and introduce himself. But I just wanted to thank Stephen for being here. Thank everyone who is joining us this evening or even has an opportunity to watch this video at a later point when we share it. We're super excited to talk money personalities tonight. And I'm just really excited just to hear about it, Stephen. And so without further ado, as I like to say, please introduce yourself to our community.
Yeah, well, hey, everybody. Like Amy said, my name is Stephen Newland, and I am, like she said again, the founder of MoneyPath, and I'm essentially a financial coach. And so what that means is I help people with budgeting, paying down debt, building up a savings fund, and just kind of all around helping with the mindset around money. So that's kind of what I do in a nutshell. And then I think you also had alluded to this, Amy, but I also, MoneyPath is what I do as my own personal practice. But then I also work at North Point Community Church and oversee our financial education programs there at the church as well. So I live, breathe, and sleep all things financial, just helping people navigate some of these conversations.
Absolutely. And I want to be clear because we actually talked about that a little bit when we first met. What's the difference really between what you do and a financial advisor does or an accountant or a bookkeeper? You know, like I think there's some confusion around this space a little bit.
There is. And to be honest, I'm still even trying to figure out the best way to message that and to talk about it. What I would say is that a lot of times, and this is a generalization, so this may not be broadly speaking, but a lot of times financial advisors will handle, you know, things like insurance and investments and those types of products and those types of things, but don't always spend as much time on the front end, you know, doing things about, you know, if you're married, are you fighting about money? Are you on a budget every month? Do you have a plan to pay down debt or to build your emergency fund? A lot of advisors will absolutely talk on that, but that's kind of the only thing that I spend time on. So I go pretty deep on those topics. And I get into, you know, just the motivation and the emotion behind money. So it's a little bit of a, I go a little deeper, I guess, in that sense. Now, again, this is not to say that there aren't advisors and planners out there that do that, but that's really my focus, is just helping people with the day-to-day money versus the planning in the long run. So I don't do insurance or investments or anything like that.
Okay. And I think this is really fascinating because I am very much motivated by my whys. Right? Mm-hmm. Like you hear sometimes, like, what's your why? Mm-hmm. You know? And I'm very much motivated about that. Would you think that that's kind of somewhat plays into, like, the why is like what motivates you around money as well sometimes?
Oh, it's to me, it's one of the number one things I talk to clients about. I mean, I've seen the people who I work with who are the most successful at this are the ones who have the strong, I call it their North Star, or the strong why behind, you know, why do you want to pay down debt? Why do you want to, you know, get on a budget? Is it to provide something better for your family in the future? Is it to, you know, do you want to give more? So I think the why is the absolute number one important thing. Without that, you don't really know where you're going or why you're going there.
Yeah. So do you dig deeper and sort of help them clarify what their why is as well sometimes?
I try to. I try to spend really the first meeting or two with a new client just trying to understand their motivation. You know, they obviously were motivated enough to reach out and ask for help in this very, very personal area. So I try to, you know, identify that and help them maybe see it even more. Because sometimes, you know, you can hear it. You know, it's easy for me to hear something, but the client doesn't even hear it the same way. So a lot of times I can hear it almost before them, and then I'll ask them, is that why you want to do this? You know, is it to provide a better, you know, future for your kids? Or is it that you're just stressed out about waking up with, so, you know, debt every day? So I definitely try to pull it out of them.
Yeah, I think you just touched on something that I want to kind of maybe dig deeper into using your words. And that is, this is not an easy conversation. You know, mm-hmm. I work in an area where I also have some difficult conversations. Not everybody was raised in an environment that talks about money or is really comfortable with talking about money, or even comfortable either having money sometimes. Mm-hmm. Shed a little light on that. And really, I kind of want to know your why a little bit behind why you can talk about it.
Yeah, I think that's great. Part of the reason that I'm so passionate about this is just because I have my own personal experience, you know, just with this. I grew up in and I'm very open and honest with my own, I call it my money story. You know, I grew up in a great middle-class household, and my parents, when I was in college, actually ended up getting divorced. And so, you know, they hadn't planned great financially to that point. And then when a divorce happens, it's just, a lot of times it can decimate the family's finances and it can put pressure on a lot of things. And so coming out of that, it was right during college. So the first thing I did was I had all this access to student loans. So I just went and got as many student loans as possible. And I had a great college experience living off of what I thought was free money. And coming out of school, I just woke up every single day just stressed. I came out of school with about $55,000 of debt, and I was making low 40s. And so here I was, just every day I thought, okay, my entire year's salary, if I just had no expenses, my entire year's salary wouldn't even cover my debt. And that was just, it was just a weight. I felt like I was almost trapped. Not that I didn't love what I did, but it was just like I felt trapped. And so that kind of put me on a quest to figure out, how do I do this? How do I got to learn this stuff. It can't be, you know, there's gotta be an easy way to do this. And so that kind of led me down the path of just learning how to do a budget and learning how to, you know, say no to myself. That was probably the hardest lesson of the whole thing, was saying no. You know, especially coming right out of school and making money for the first time, and you have friends who are buying nice stuff and, you know, doing this and that. It was hard to say no, but that's why I would say I'm, you know, a good person to talk about some of this stuff again, because I've experienced this and I can really sit across from someone and empathize. Look, I know this is stressful. There's no way around it. And I know this isn't an easy thing to deal with. And I know it always weighs on you. It's always on your mind. And that really builds a rapport right away as I'm working with people.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of folks out there. I mean, we're actually in graduation season where we're, you know, sending someone off to, you know, again, do that college experience, or, you know, facing that. And I think that's really important to kind of, during this season right now, that we're having this conversation, because it is an opportunity actually to have a conversation around money with, say, a student heading off to college. And I just think it's a great idea. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, that relationship, or really just that there is a conversation that needs to happen about money. Sometimes it goes wrong.
Yeah.
And that's really what we're here to talk about tonight, is sometimes we can figure out the why behind why it went wrong.
Yeah. You know, pardon me, one of the things that I learned when I got married was that people view things differently. That came to bear pretty quickly. And so one of those things was obviously money. And so coming into marriage, you know, I knew that I was a saver, and I didn't really know that my wife was a spender. But she was, and it wasn't like a crazy, you know, spender or anything. I was probably more, too much of a saver than she was too much of a spender. But coming into that, I realized, you know, even though I taught this and I did this for a living, we still fought about money. And that just kind of clued me in, like, okay, if I'm a quote unquote expert, or I'm a professional in this area, and we're fighting about money and we're struggling with this, not that I'm perfect, but I mean, that kind of clued me in, like, there's something here. There's something deeper here that we've got to dig into. And so I actually ran across this idea. There's a guy, his name's Ray Linder. He kind of coined this term, or came up with this idea of money personalities. And really all it is, you know, it's similar to like the Myers-Briggs, but just knowing the lens that someone else views the world through, or views something through, it can help take the edge off of some of those conversations. So when I realized, oh, this is just how my wife views money, and this is how I view money, I had to realize how I viewed money first, and then I could figure out how she viewed money. Once I understood that, it made these, you know, conversations about money, it just took the edge off, and it was a lot less stressful from that standpoint.
So what are the money personalities?
Yeah. So I've got like a PDF pulled up on my computer. So I'd love to just kind of walk through each of the four, and give kind of a quick description of each, and then some challenges that each of them face. If that works.
Yeah.
So we're all familiar with the term saver and spender, right? Like, that's pretty common language. But what this, you know, does is this, we've added two more to that. And each saver and each spender can either be internally motivated or externally motivated. And so the way, you know, what I like to call them is the internal saver, the internal spender, the external saver, the external spender. So the internal person is motivated by, again, inside forces. So like power, freedom. I want to feel free with money. I want money to provide power. Whereas externally motivated people are driven by outside forces, like providing for others. So that's kind of at a high level what the difference is. So let's jump into this and I'm just going to kind of go over each of the four here. An internal saver. This is actually me. So I always like to start with this one. It's the one I'm most familiar with. This is somebody who has calculated out what they need to do each month to reach their goals. They see how their purchases fit into their, like, the larger financial picture. They understand the balance between the short term and the long term. Some of the challenges with this type of personality, though, or this lens or money personality, is that, and this is so true of me, we can be paralyzed by overanalyzing things. So I'll give you a quick example. If I, you know, bought something and it went on sale the next week, it would absolutely drive me nuts that I didn't save $3 or whatever on that item. Just to give you an example of how my mind kind of works around this.
I wanted to ask a quick question.
Sure.
Before we dig too much deeper into even the other three personalities,
mm-hmm.
Are some of these better or worse, or they just are?
That's such a good question. So
because I don't want someone, or should someone feel like, oh, I need to change my money personality?
No, absolutely not. And that's a fantastic question. I have seen in my work, I have seen people who are healthy and unhealthy with money in every single one of these. As someone who is a saver, I have seen people who save way too much, and it's almost a fear, out of fear. And so they save and they save and they hoard and they save. That's not a healthy relationship with money. just like overspending and just spending money to like impress people isn't a healthy relationship with money. Now, if you save it, you know, by some standards, you could say, well, you know, you might be a little better off than if you spent it, but it's still not what I would consider a healthy relationship with money. So this is all about trying to figure out, once you figure out what your money personality is, it actually is really, it's easier for you to see, okay, where are my shortcomings? So like for me, for example, I am a spender, or I'm a saver who just loves to save. And that's like, that's just my natural bend is to hoard. If it was up to me and I wasn't married to a spender, I would probably never eat out at all, ever. I would never do anything fun. I would be the most boring person in the world. And so again, this is about balance.
Nice. All right. So sorry to interrupt you, but I'm really glad you clarified that, because I'm starting to think, oh goodness, like starting to get nervous about what kind of money personality I am.
No, it's a good question. It's a good question. And I probably even am talking like I have a bias towards the saver side.
So you might have one.
That's true. That is true. So again, on the internal saver side of things, one of the other challenges on top of overanalyzing purchases is that, and I just talked about this, is we have a tendency to hoard money, and it's harder for us to be generous. So with generous giving, it's harder to write that check, or it's harder to send that money, because we think, oh, that's less money that I get to save.
Just to put that into context, I mean, you mentioned early on in the broadcast, you know, you are involved and employed by North Point Community Church, and I could see, you know, where that personality would really struggle with even tithing.
Yeah, right? It was a challenge for me when I first started paying off my debt. It was a really big challenge for me to give. You know, at that point, it was just a faith thing, and it was just a trust. But it was hard to write that first check, and it took me a lot of time. It took me a length of time to do it. So that's, you're spot on. The other potential challenge for the internal saver is that we like to compare our bank accounts to others to boost our self-worth. So that is very unhealthy, but that is just another potential challenge that we face.
So let's move to the internal, or do you want to say go to the external saver now?
Yeah, we can keep it in the saver and then move to the spender side.
Let's go to the external saver. What's the difference there? That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, so the external saver is, while the internal saver is more focused on, I want to build my bank account for power and to compare it with yours and say I have more, right? That's kind of it in a very, very general sense. The external saver is more like, I want to save money because I want my family to be okay, and I don't want to be a burden on my family. I want to make sure we have enough, and I want to be able to meet their needs. So that's the main difference between the internal and external. Again, it's just the internal, external is just how they're motivated. So the external saver is careful and cautious with money. They're very organized with records, and they hardly ever pay a bill late. They have a desire to meet needs and seek stability. So stability is the most important thing that they're seeking. And a lot of times it's for their family or those close to them.
So while you're doing this, I'm thinking, oh, this person in my life is probably one of these. It's like, so I'm spinning here and I'm seeing where this is going.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really interested to get to see the next two as well. So
yeah, it is interesting. You can start to like picture, oh, that's what they are. You really can start to put people in a little bit of a box. So the potential challenges here is that they can be driven by fear as well. And this is due to just overestimating what the risks are. You know, you can't plan for every potential emergency, but this personality likes to be able to plan for as many possible emergencies as possible. They'll save every penny without building in some money to let off some steam. So again, they're the ones who are going to sacrifice for their family or for, you know, for others to save a little bit of money. And then the unexpected change can cause them stress with money. So when an emergency happens, you know, if they're driven by building up their emergency fund to protect for their family and to you know, have this set aside for the family, when emergencies pop up, it's just an even more of a stressor on them financially, because that's taking away from that main thing that's driving them, which is providing for their family and protecting for their family.
Oh, think your wireless or your internet went a little slow on me, buckered.
Oh no, can you hear me now? We're good?
That's okay. Yeah, I can hear you now. But I think I want to definitely quickly get through the next two so we have a chance to kind of put it all together at the end.
Yeah.
So what are the next two? So we have spenders now. We're going to, let's talk about, put the bills out there.
Yeah, I'll try to run through these quicker. The internal spender is someone who doesn't want money to feel restrictive. A budget is very restrictive to them, and they just want to, you know, I've got my money and I just want to spend it and have fun. They like to spend based on what feels good at the time, and they definitely don't overthink purchases. Money is used for them as a tool to create fun and comfort. And some of the challenges there is that they tend to be impulsive buyers, even when it comes to big purchases. So, you know, let's go get a car today. That's an extreme example, but this is that type of person, or that type of personality type, that would have that thought. Again, budgeting and financial goals can feel restrictive to them, and sometimes they can be big risk takers because, you know, they're not driven by fear, which is kind of more on the saver side of things. The external spender is someone who sees how money can help others. They want to help fulfill others' needs first, oftentimes before their own. They view money as a tool to be used to fuel good things like charity or personal growth, things like that. They, some of the challenges there is that they use money so much for others that it can actually hurt progress towards their own financial goals, which can actually undercut being able to help people in the future. And then if their heartstrings are pulled, they can be taken advantage of out of just their natural generosity. Hmm. So that's kind of a summary of the four.
So I don't want to run out of time here, but I want to, how does knowing these things about yourself help you have a conversation with someone else? How does that help?
Yeah. So how this helped, and I'll just give a practical example from our own marriage. When I knew that, you know, my wife Rachel was a spender, and I knew that was just her natural wiring. I knew she wasn't just doing that to annoy me or to frustrate me. It's just like how I knew I was a natural saver and I wasn't doing that to frustrate her. It's hard to explain, but it just took the edge off that conversation, and it helped me realize, look, this is just how she's wired, and there's just going to be a level of, I just have to assume that she's going to want to spend money more than I am, and that's okay. We've just got to figure out how to build that in to our financial life to make that work. So for example, one of those is we have our own personal money, and we can spend it on whatever we want. We can't tell each other, we can't say like, why'd you spend your money on that? It's our own personal money set aside, and we each get it every month. For example, I take a lower amount because I just don't need it. I what happened was I ended up saving all this money and it was just like sitting there. But Rachel gets a little bit more than I do, and then every month it's spent. And so that was one way that really helped just take off some of that edge again in the relationship. Another really practical thing that I would say is really helpful once you start to really study this and get into it is, you know, once you figure out what your personality type is and those around you are, you can actually set goals a lot better. So if you're a natural internal saver, which is what I am, and you are married to someone who is we'll call it an internal spender. So this is someone who just wants to spend, you know, and just have fun, versus someone who just wants to save because they want the power of it. Very conflicting things, right? What this allows you to do is you're able to set better goals. So as for me, as the internal saver, I know that I need to set a goal to help balance our relationship with my wife. As a spender, we need to set a goal to save up for vacation. That's going to help keep her motivated. And likewise, I need to have a goal of, how much are we going to save for retirement every month? And that helps keep me motivated. And so by knowing that, we've both got a goal that we're shooting for, and we're both all in on the plan, on the goals that we're working towards. And now, you know, there's a lot of nuances. Like if you're single or you're not married, you know, it can help kind of point out where some of the more, where it's going to be more challenging for you, you know, to set goals in. So there's a lot of stuff we could get into there, but.
Well, and I actually kind of want to end on that. We're going to be coming close to the end here. You know, I work with a lot of women, and we've talked about this. You know, part of my why is kind of really related to helping women make sure everyone is taken care of at home and, you know, have a plan in place so they can go out and really kind of do what they want to do. And we're at such a unique time in history right now. Women are controlling more money than men for the first time ever in history. It's just, it is. You know, I think that I read somewhere recently that it just happened or is about to happen, but I'm pretty sure that it's over and done with. And now we control the money. But I also think if we don't have a history of hundreds of years of controlling money hardwired into us, you know, I think that there is something to be said there for if you know your money personality, single, in a relationship, and even if you are married in a relationship, regardless, if you are a woman who understands your money personality, that can really be a confidence booster in going into a daily decision about money, because we make daily decisions. Do I buy that coffee on the way to work? Do I, you know, do I stop and get gas at that station or the one down the way where I save a dime a gallon? You know, every day we're making baby decisions and then we're making huge decisions. Do I buy the home that makes me a little uncomfortable but is my dream home or not? And you mentioned the word faith when you had to start writing those checks and you really felt it, you were drawn to write the checks, but it really went against you. I think, and I know you work with a lot of women in your ministry work at North Point Community Church, I think that would really be a huge game changer for a woman.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely agree. You know, the more awareness you have of where your shortcomings are, you know, just based on your hardwiring, we're not hardwired to see every perspective. We're just not. I mean, that's just the reality of it. The more you learn about yourself, the more you're going to see these are the mechanisms I've got to put in place. I've got to build so that I've got goals, the full spectrum, you know, that cover the full spectrum. So again, this is just an awareness thing.
Yeah. I was just about to say that same thing. It's like, I always don't even see it as a shortcoming. I almost see it as it is. And I live with it. Right?
Yeah. I didn't like that word shortcoming. I agree with you. It's just an is. Like, you know, to me, I don't view the fact that I want to save as a shortcoming. I view that that's just how I am. And I'm lucky enough to have someone who balances that out. Right?
Yeah. And so. I think it's kind of interesting. And I think even in some marriages, a lot of husbands and wives have separate bank accounts. Mm-hmm. And maintain money separately. And, you know, there's a lot of, like, some people would say that's good, some people would say that's bad. You might have a strong opinion because you work in this, but too, just like, you know, maybe some of it centers on the money personality, you know?
I think it does. I think a lot of times it's a fear thing. I've seen it a lot. One person is just so nervous or afraid, and they just want to save, but they know that their spouse is a spender and they don't trust that. And so they feel like they've got to have this separate account over here just in case. And it's 100%, I shouldn't say 100%, it's a lot of times driven by fear. Savers are often driven by fear. So it's just something that I've really found in my work here. Savers get they kind of get an easy pass. It seems like, oh, I would love to be a saver, but we struggle.
They get a pass, or like society kind of gives them. Okay, yeah.
But we struggle with. I mean, it's just as hard to be a saver as it is a spender. You're dealing with the same mindset, you know, issues. It's just a different topic.
Well, Stephen, I absolutely appreciate our conversation tonight. It really gave me some food for thought, and I hope it gave all of our viewers some food for thought. I really think knowing your money personality is really just important and critical. And we shared out previous to the broadcast one of the things that you provided me in advance, and that is the like around 10 questions, and it's just to get to the bottom of which one of these four things are you, four personalities are you? And we'll share that out again and have it available to anyone who wants to reach out to us here at Atlanta Wills and Trust Law Group. And Stephen, if somebody wants to reach out to you, what is your contact information?
Yeah, the best place to find me is just on the website. So it's findyourmoneypath.com. And I've also got a podcast that I'm doing out there, and it's just, you can search it, Find Your Money Path Show. It's on iTunes and Google Play.
Well, that's really awesome. I love the idea of the podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us tonight, and thank everyone who has viewed us throughout the show or is viewing us later on a replay. We certainly appreciate it. It's Why Women Need Financial Awareness is the name of this show. And we have been joined this evening by Stephen Newland of Money Path. And you can reach him at the contact information that he just provided. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. It was a pleasure. And thank everyone. And we are now signing off here. Amy Rafeka, Atlanta Wills and Trust Law Group.